From NPR News in Washington, I'm Craig Windham. Rebel forces in Libya are intensifying their push toward the hometown and tribal stronghold of Muammar Gaddafi, the city of Sirte, as the NATO-led air offensive keeps pressure on Gaddafi's forces. In defending the U.S. role in the Libyan military operation, President Obama says the intervention was necessary to prevent a massacre of horrific scale.
Some nations may be able to turn a blind eye to atrocities in other countries. The United States of America is different. And as president, I refuse to wait for the images of slaughter and mass graves before taking action.
President speaking last evening in Washington. Secretary of State Hillary Clinton is in London to confer with other foreign ministers and diplomats from the Arab League and African Union as they seek a way to defuse the crisis in Libya. NPR's Michelle Kellerman reports Clinton is also trying to get a better understanding of the elements that constitute the opposition in Libya.
For a second time in as many weeks, the secretary held talks with a representative of the Libyan opposition, Mahmoud Jibril. One official said the U.S. is gradually developing a clearer picture of the opposition, and a U.S. envoy would travel to Benghazi soon. The goal of the London conference, U.S. officials say, is to start thinking ahead about a political transition in Libya. Britain and France issued a statement on the eve of the meeting saying Muammar Gaddafi must go and his followers should leave him before it is, quote, too late. They also called on Libyans who believe that Gaddafi is leading the country into a disaster to take the initiative now to organize a transition process. Michelle Kellerman, NPR News, London.
Low levels of plutonium have been found in soil samples taken near Japan's crippled nuclear power facility. Officials say the amounts are so low they pose no threat to health. But NPR's John Hamilton says the discovery adds to concern that one or more of the reactor cores there may have partially melted.
The levels were so low they could have been from soil almost anywhere on Earth. But a government spokesman said an analysis of the specific radioactive isotopes suggested the material came from a nearby reactor. One of the units at Daiichi uses fuel that includes some plutonium, but all nuclear reactors produce small amounts of the substance. The presence of plutonium at the plant adds to the evidence that overheated fuel rods began to melt. That has apparently caused a variety of radioactive materials to get into the water and steam that has escaped from the reactors. John Hamilton, NPR News, Tokyo.
Lawmakers are trying to work out a spending bill to keep the federal government operating through the end of September, but the talks have reportedly slowed to a standstill. Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid blames Republicans for the impasse, saying they're under pressure from Tea Party activists.
The infighting between the Tea Party and the rest of the Republican Party, including the Republican leadership in Congress, is keeping our negotiating partner from the negotiating table.
But a spokesman for Senate GOP leader John Boehner says the discussions are ongoing. This is NPR News. The Supreme Court hears arguments today in the largest employment discrimination lawsuit ever in the U.S. The suit, filed on behalf of up to 1.5 million current employees and former employees of Walmart, accuses the giant retailer of paying women less than men for comparable work and of passing over women for promotions. Christine Kwapnowski is one of the plaintiffs in the case. She recalls asking her boss what she needed to do to get promoted.
He basically told me to blow the cobwebs off my makeup and to doll up. Now, what exactly meant, I'm not exactly sure, but I mean, I kind of took that as, you know, just to dress better, high heels, a skirt, wear the makeup, get my hair done. It's like, you know, for the position I was in, it just didn't make sense.
The high court will decide whether the case can proceed as a class action suit. Walmart claims the class action is too broadly defined to be meaningful. Amazon has launched a web-based music service that will allow people to listen to their songs and everything from Android smartphones to internet-connected computers. NPR's Wendy Kaufman says it's called Cloud Player.
Although Amazon is the first major company to launch a cloud-based music service, the competition in this market is expected to be fierce. Google is reportedly field-testing its program. Apple is working on one, too. For consumers used to downloading e-books, Amazon's new Cloud Drive will seem familiar. The company says you'll be able to retrieve anything you've stored on the service from any PC or Mac or from an Android phone. Bill Carr, who's in charge of movies and music at Amazon, describes the service as buy once, play anywhere.
And that's kind of been missing from the digital music business for a long time, the digital music experience where customers, you know, their hard drives crash, they lose their whole collection.
This is NPR News from Washington.